Senate will please come to order. Reports from standing committees.
February 13, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 5, Medicine Lodge State Archaeological Site, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business, our favorite topic, consideration of bills on general file.
Move that we resolve, that the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of bills on general file.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Before we do, Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir, you may. There's some lovely lady sitting behind you. Go ahead, Senator Baldwin.
Yes, some stranger showed up at the door this afternoon. I'd like to introduce and welcome to the Senate Miss Elaine Harvey, Chairman Elaine Harvey of the House.
Welcome.
I think she said she wants to come back and come to this side.
Yes.
Welcome. So good to see you. Senator Peterson, are you ready? Senator Hicks.
Before you leave the chair, Mr. President, I would ask that have Senate File 69, the 2018 Large Project Funding Bill, referred to Appropriations Committee number 2.
Without objection, so ordered.
The whole come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 32. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 32, Criminal Record Dissemination, Military Department, an act relating to criminal procedure. It was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Meyer, Senator Christensen, excused. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole stands to report, they do so with a due pass recommendation on House or Senate File 32. For explanation of the bill, I defer to Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you today Senate File 32, a simple, straightforward bill. Let me present to you the situation that brought this bill up. The military department had an episode where the gentleman, one of their soldiers, needed to go on training or somewhere for an outside of the facility training. And there was a question of whether he had any criminal problems. There was an allegation that perhaps he had some criminal problems, but when they dealt with the community or the county where this had been alleged, they were unable to receive those records. They weren't able to allocate them because that law enforcement in that community said that they were unable to distribute those to them. What this bill does is it makes so that the law enforcement entities in the state can release criminal investigation information concerning military. Fairly simple, fairly straightforward. All the law enforcement I talk with don't have a problem with it. It certainly makes things easier for the military when they have something that they're doing investigating, or particularly when somebody's going out of state or out to another facility to go to some sort of training or an event, that they can be cleared of any criminal charges before they go. And this enables the law enforcement to release those results or release those investigation results to the military before they make that commitment. If there's any questions, I'd certainly be happy to answer those. Pretty straightforward bill that just enables the law enforcement to go ahead, and I would stand for any questions.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Ruffus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I understand this, this is for employees, so it's not necessarily military members alone, based on the rest of the way the phrase is, prospective employees, volunteers, or military members. Does this create some sort of a differential allowance where if you're an employee of the military department, all of a sudden there's more access there wouldn't be less access, but more access to their criminal history, even when it wouldn't be relevant? Would that be one possibility? That's first of all. And second of all, this even says volunteers. So you've got somebody who's a potential volunteer for the military department. And I'm not sure whether that's that's going to be somebody who's not being paid. Then you could turn over their criminal history or disseminate the criminal history based on somebody volunteering for the military department. Is that really what you're shooting for? It sounds like you're shooting for the military members, but we've got a few other terms that are being swept into it, and I'm wondering if there had been discussion on that.
Further questions or discussion on the bill? Back to you, Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Specifically, we talked about the Wyoming National Guard, the volunteers or the employees of the Wyoming National Guard, and I don't know that we had any specific, unless one of the other members of the committee can remember any specific discussion, but it was mostly the members of the Wyoming National Guard. And it does say in the bill, volunteers or military members serving in the active duty in the Wyoming National Guard. So I think the intention was mostly for those people serving actively in the Wyoming National Guard, be they volunteers or employees.
Further discussion. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a question for the bill. A little bit might be outside the topic. I'd be interested if we're talking about dissemination of criminal records from state agencies to military departments. So do you have any discussion about the reciprocal nature of that? Did you have any discussion about reporting criminal records and criminal of servicemen or people that are in the Guard? In there, and if you remember referring to a case, there was an interesting case that we heard about in the news, I think there was one branch of the armed services had not reported the criminal activity from that service member into the NCIC, and that was resulted in a tragedy. And I just wondered, is there any discussion about that, or is there any reciprocity about that, or is it something we shouldn't even be concerned about in this bill or in general?
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think this bill is simpler than we're making it out to be when we look at it, Mr. Chairman. Because, first of all, the volunteers is old language. It just used to say that the criminal history record information shall be disseminated by criminal justice agencies in this state, whether directly or through an intermediary, only to the military department for purposes of obtaining criminal history record information on prospective employees or volunteers. That's the old language. Now we're adding active duty members, Mr. Chairman, and that's the same with the fingerprinting. So I'm not seeing the other things. And I do understand the majority floor leader's point that I believe that was regard to a news event. It was a terrible shooting where someone had the military department admitted they hadn't shared criminal disciplinary records with someone, but I don't think that's covered by this bill at all. But I just want to point out that it is volunteers was there before, and the active duty members is the only new thing that's being added here. That's the way I read this. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As an answer to the question from the majority floor leader, I believe that we were explained to you that mechanism is already in place. And it's separate from this bill, something that's totally separate, the dissemination of information to the local law enforcement. And I think that's been emphasized in the local issue or the national issue that's been presented. But that mechanism already exists. It's just a matter of the military being more forthcoming on that. But the mechanism is there for them to release that information to local law enforcement. It just hadn't been happening expediently.
No further questions? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Agar's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 32, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 32 has passed the committee of the whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 33, Military Member Spouse and Children, Resident Tuition, an act relating to higher education and uniformed service members. It was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, and Meyer. Senator Christensen excused. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee the whole rights report it do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 33, Military Member Spouse and Children Resident Tuition. And for an explanation of this good little file, we'll turn her over to Senator Anderson.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This good little bill is holistic and compliant in a few other words. A few other words, too. Actually, we're just complying to the federal legislation that has been passed concerning active duty dependents receiving resident tuition at higher education institutions in state, to include new federal definitions found in 38 U.S.C. 3679 C2. And the bill concerns programs commonly called the post-9/11 GI Bill, essentially a housekeeping bill to remove language of active duty member, spouse, and dependents and replace with new federal language of eligible individuals and covered individuals. That's all it does, Mr. Chairman, and I encourage your positive vote.
Discussions on the bill.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on page 2, where they have a definition of covered individual as described in 38 U.S.C. 3679 C2. I'm just wondering what that really is. What is a covered individual? You can get that for me by second reading. I'd appreciate it.
Further discussion on the bill. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that the committee of the whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 33, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 33 has passed the committee of the whole. The committee. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. I wanted to welcome to the gallery a group of students from the Wind River Unity Group. UNITY stands for United National Indian Tribal Youth, and these are some really great students that we have here in Wyoming. As a member of UNITY, they are really committed to making sure they're respecting their culture, to be remaining drug-free, and just placing a lot of value on their education. So they just got into Cheyenne and had a great time. I had a great time visiting with them, so let's welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome. We hope you enjoy your stay here in Cheyenne. Okay. Senator Baldwin.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take a moment to honor two people who traveled all the way from the far west side of the state, Lincoln County. Two of our commissioners are here, if they would stand. And both of them have still got hair, so they're better off than I am. Commissioner Harmon and Commissioner King, we'd like to welcome them to the Senate.
Thank you. Welcome to the Senate. We like commissioners, don't we, Senator Coe? Yes, we do. Okay. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 34. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 34, Military Spouse Unemployment Sunset Repeal, an act relating to labor and employment. Was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, and Meyer. Senator Christensen excused. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee will rise. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee to hold rise and report it do so with the do pass motion on Senate File 34, Military Spouse Unemployment Sunset Repeal. For an explanation of this bill, I would turn that over to the good Senator Anderson.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. In 2009, the Wyoming legislature passed SF 90, authorizing unemployment benefits for eligible spouses who are unemployed after relocating to Wyoming due to the transfer of their military spouse. So currently there are 44 states have this protection, including all of our neighboring states. The Department of Workforce Services manages these unemployment benefits and supports this proposal. Historically, 7 to 14 individuals claim these benefits each fiscal year. State fiscal year 17 saw 7 military spouses file claims. As you can see in the fiscal note, that was a cost of about $6,185, I believe it was, $6,184 maybe. So it is not a high cost. What this bill does is simply removes the sunset date on that bill in the origin. So I hope you can see your way clear to passing this removal of this sunset date. Thank you.
For the discussion on the bill. Are you ready for the question? I guess not. Okay. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the committee of the whole rises report that do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 34, say aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 34 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, Insurance Corporate Governance Annual Disclosure, an act relating to insurance, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Agar, acting chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Well, even though Senator Agar ramrodded this through, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 7, Insurance Corporate Governance Annual Disclosure. For an explanation of the bill, Mr. Chairman, I would yield to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this is another one of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, NAIC, model acts that we have to enact to keep our insurance department's accreditation. That's important, and the NAIC accreditation system relates to their duties in terms of making sure insurers are financially solvent and dealing with them if they cease to be. It's been a very successful system, so it's well worth our trouble to stay current, keep our accreditation current. It is required as of January 1st, 2020, and the effective date reflects that. It does apply to all our insurers, and you will see that on page 2, lines 18 and 19. There's just 4 of them in the state, and we did hear from them in the committee, and they support this. It applies to on page 2, lines 4 through 7, and on page 18, the next to last provision, it applies to the Domestic Paternal Benefit Associations, of which we have none, and HMOs, of which we have none. But if we should ever get one, it'll apply, and that's an NAIC requirement. I would call your attention on page 2, starting at the bottom, lines 21, where nothing in the act should be construed to prescribe or impose corporate governance standards and internal procedures beyond that which is already required under the corporate law of the state. So what this really does is impose reporting requirements, and the NAIC wants that, Mr. Chairman, because it's been their experience where you do get into trouble. Often it turns out there was some pretty sloppy corporate governance and they hadn't thought out some of the things that they needed to. And this is designed to be a preventive against that. There's a lengthy section on confidentiality on page 9. It's boilerplate. We have enacted before protecting trade secrets in another one of these NAIC acts, so there's nothing particularly novel there. We did add on page 13, lines 7 through 10, we added on our own something that the NAIC subsequently approved of, saying that if information disclosed that's already public knowledge, some other filing, this we don't make it confidentiality. That's really, it's an abundance of caution, so we don't create a mechanism for hiding things that really are public. And I would also point out there's a provision for sanctions if something if a company doesn't comply. We have discretion as to how much, and you can see the figures on page 17, starting at line 17, as to what the committee and the insurance department came up with. I doubt that they'll ever have to be used, but that is something we have discretion of. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Discussion or questions for the presenter? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rises report that it do so with favorable recommendation on Senate File 7, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 7 has passed the committee of the whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 8, Insurance Audited Annual Financial Reports, an act relating to insurance, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 8, Insurance Audited Annual Financial Reports. For an explanation of the bill, I ask that you yield to former acting chairman, Senator Agar.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, this is an industry-supported NAIC model bill draft. And it will become the accreditation standards effectively the 1st of January 2020. The bill updates existing audit requirements in Chapter 3 of the Insurance Code and will require larger insurance companies, those that have $500 million or more in annual premiums, to have an internal audit function. With that, I'll dive in and just kind of walk through the bill really quick. If you go to the bottom of page 1, line 12, we have a new section, 26-3-316, Internal Audit Function Requirements. If you turn the page to page 2, those first 7 lines just lay out the exemption language for those companies that have under $500 million annual premiums. You get down to line 17, subsection B, we put the function in place. Each insurer or group of insurers shall establish an internal audit function providing independent oversight regarding the insurer's governance, risk management, and internal protocols. And if you turn to page 3, we lay out the requirements in subsections C, D, and E. An internal audit function shall be organized independently and have direct, unrestricted access to the board of directors. The head of the internal audit function shall report to the audit committee regularly, no less than annually. If an insurer is a member of an insurance holding company system or included in a group of insurers, they may satisfy their internal audit functions at any level. When we move to page 4, line 14, we have some new definitions, and those will be covered on page 5. lines 9 through 12, we update a reference and then we add the definition of internal audit function. If you move on down page 5 to line 18, with 26-3-308, we lay out the scope of the audit. And update a reference on page 6, line 11. The bottom of page 6, 26-3-313, exemptions and effective dates, lays out the fact that this will become effective January 1st, 2019. And then we lay out a one-year grace period for those companies that have been below the $500 million annual premium level but are rising up to be in the bigger competitive field. Line 9, 26-3-315, requirements for the audit committee, create subsection B. The audit committee shall be responsible for overseeing the insurer's internal audit functions. Starting on line 17 of page 7, we renumber and update references through page 13, Mr. Chairman. We come to page 13, line 15, 26-34-110, which is the HMO chapter. We correct some references there, Mr. Chairman. Moving on to page 14, section 3. Just some renumbering, and then Section 4 lays out the effective date one more time. With that, Mr. Chairman, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions. The first question is, when I look at this, I want to be sure, what type of insurance company are we talking about? Are we talking about health? Are we talking about property and casualty? Which ones we're talking about for sure? And I can't quite see that. Then the other thing, if it's property and casualty or general liability, you have admitted carriers or surplus carriers. There's a big difference between those with surplus line carriers. And I'm wondering if you're going to eliminate the internal audit function for the smaller ones, but you define it as it's something that improves the organization's operations. Why are you going to exempt them from internal audit if it's supposed to help them specifically in the surplus lines part of the insurance? So just a couple of questions so I get a better handle on the bill.
Are there questions, discussions? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, first, as to the companies applies, my understanding it applies to all of them that are big enough. The only one in this state that's close is and happens to be in the health area, but if the others grow enough, with regard to why exempt the smaller ones, the need for an internal audit function, it becomes more important the larger your company gets. In a smaller company, you don't need that kind of a formal structure. You handle it in a much less formal way. But if you get to be a big company, and that's what we're talking about here, big companies, then it becomes important to have your internal audit structure. There's nothing here that prevents a company that's smaller from creating one. But the NAIC wants to apply the standard only to the larger ones where the absence will cause trouble. Yeah. So, and the smaller ones, it's a matter of management discretion.
President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then to the issue of whether they're a surplus lines carrier or admitted carrier, there's a huge difference there. You know, the concern about the surplus lines carrier, they're not covered under our fund if they go belly up, so if you have them to be your carrier and they go out of business, you have no protection. And yet those are the ones that might have the less stability in their financial side of their company, so you're going to exempt them if they're small. If they're small, they could get in trouble, and if that's the only kind of insurance you can have, you got no protection from the state's guarantee fund.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the nature of a surplus line carrier, they're not an admitted carrier in the state. They're not domestic here. We don't have that kind of authority over it. So this is limited here to our domestics, which we do have authority. And under the NAIC scheme, the state where an insurance company is a domestic is the state that has the authority over that. Since we don't have any domestic surplus lines carriers that would sell elsewhere that I know of, it's just not relevant to us, and we don't have the authority to reach out and grab them because they are surplus lines. You are, Mr. Chairman, and it's a little outside the scope of the bill, but when you are dealing with a surplus line carrier, he's exactly right that they aren't covered by the Guarantee Association, and that's the risk of dealing with a surplus lines carrier.
Further questions or discussion on the bill? Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with the favorable recommendation of Senate File 8, say aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 8 has passed the committee of the whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 9. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 9, Insurance Code Revisions, an act relating to insurance, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 9, Insurance Code Revisions. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 9, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 21.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 9. And for an explanation of the bill and to track in the amendment, I'd like to yield to Senator Nethercott.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have in front of you Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 9. The amendment and the bill really need to be read together to understand the amendment. As mentioned on introduction, this is just an insurance code revisions update. As a whole, what this bill generally does is serve to remove obsolete and antiquated language, provide updated language with NAIC standards, as well as generally remove the provision regarding the Farm Mutual business model provisions regarding insurance, which is an antiquated model, and none of them exist in the state of Wyoming. So to walk through the bill and the amendment, we start on page 1, line 13 through 15. Those are updates to the statutory code based on the changes that are proposed throughout the bill. Moving on to page 2, the qualification of new foreign insurers. We look at on line 7 on page 2, that language is stricken in order to update it because it currently creates ambiguity, and by striking it, it eliminates that ambiguity between confusing terms such as alien insurers, which is a term of art, as opposed to foreign insurers. Moving down on page 2 to Roman numeral number 1 on lines 11 through 14, it really expands the scope of business in Wyoming for the insurance providers, allowing it to be a wholly owned subsidiary or affiliate, so expanding the scope of those who can quickly do business of insurance here in Wyoming. Line 16 is actually broadening the commissioner's authority for the waiver of the seasoning statute. The seasoning statute is the requirement where in order to sell insurance in the state of Wyoming, you have to kind of know what you're doing. You have to be seasoned in the business and prove that you're a known quantity in order for the state of Wyoming to allow you to sell insurance in the state. This allows the commissioner to have additional flexibility so long as certain conditions are met, which are highlighted on page 2 and 3, to waive some of those seasoning requirements so long as those proper prerequisites are met. Then as we move on to page 4, we can see an additional change here that allows for a reduction in the time period for the months for which an insurer needs to take its examination. And so as long as a report is provided within 60 months of a current examination, that should suffice, expanding it from the 36 months. On lines 9 on page 4, that particular line, that verbiage is stricken because it doesn't really serve a purpose and prevents from not being a wholly owned subsidiary, so really is removing an absurd result there in our statute, so extremely cumbersome to our insurers. Again, as we approach the bottom of page 4, the domestic insurer, we are removing the Farm Mutual provision in anticipation of removing it entirely from the statutory code. And then as well,
when we look at page 6, section line 2, that is actually the removal of the Farm Mutual business model from the Wyoming statutory code. With that, I would move for approval of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 9. I'll take any questions on the amendment.
Question on the amendment being called? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Amendment number 1 to Senate File 9, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 passes on Senate File 9. Back on the bill. Further discussion or questions on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that the committee hold rises report that do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 9, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 9 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, good job. That's going to wrap it up for committee of the whole for today. I think tomorrow we'll be able to be on full schedule pretty close. So with that, I move the committee of the whole rise and report.
Oh, you heard the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Great job.
I'm sorry, Majority Coordinator, were you speaking?
Will the reading clerk please read the committee of the whole report?
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 32, do pass. Senate File 33, do pass. Senate File 34, do pass. Senate File 7, do pass. Senate File 8, do pass. Senate File 9, do pass amended. Senator Peterson, Chair.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Do we have any standing committee reports, messages from the House, messages from the governor, messages from home? Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I believe, wait a minute, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, I'd ask a privilege of the floor.
You may.
We are joined here today by royalty from Sheridan, Wyoming, Miss Wyoming 2017, Cheyenne Byard. Please give her a warm Wyoming Senate welcome.
Oh, welcome. It's not every day that we have Miss Wyoming in our midst, so we would like, please come up here in front. Oh, no, we want you up here, Miss Wyoming, right here. Come on up here, absolutely. We've never had a Miss Wyoming from Shoshone, darn it, but please, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Wow, thank you all. So like you said, I'm from Sheridan. My name is Cheyenne. I'm Miss Wyoming 2017, so I've been serving the state since last June, and I'll give my title up in June again in Sheridan. And what I do as Miss Wyoming is basically service, so volunteer projects. It's a scholarship program, so I'm pushing to empower young women to further their educations, and I get to work with some amazing organizations like Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and the American Heart Association. So that's why I'm in town today, and yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for welcoming me.
Before you leave, is part of your job description to keep an eye on Senators Kinski and Burns, or is that something way beyond your ability and control?
Job. Yeah, they're great.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Hey, before you leave, why don't you get Senator Kinski and Senator Burns up here and take a picture of you? Why don't we do that? No, right now. We'll just do it now. You want to get in the chair up here?
No, we'll get you in the background. You're president.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, that's what I wanted to do anyway.
Senator Hicks, you were jumping to get up. Do you wish to have privilege of the floor?
It's an announcement, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we're going to do those in a second. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked to have a re-referral of Senate File 66 to appropriations. There is a very small appropriation.
Is that objection? That is noted. Any other... Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, Senate File 31 did have a loan, although it's not an appropriation. I'm not sure whether appropriation wants us to take a look at it or not. I re-refer it. It didn't get any work done on it today, so nothing's out of order at this point.
Senator Burns, comments? Without objection, I would so order.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. President, we are people of insatiable curiosity.
Okay, well, let's satisfy that curiosity, Mr. President.
Without objection, so ordered. Anybody else want privilege of the floor? Senator Perkins.
Hey, Mr. President, I move we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February the 14th, which is Valentine's Day. So if you haven't sent your wife a card or got her something, it's not quite too late. You may have to get it FedEx or something, but anyway, it's not too late.
Okay, announcements. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in Jonah Room S19 to take up Senate File 29, Education, Computer Science, and Computational Thinking. Senate File 28, School Finance, Health Insurance 2. Senate File 72, School Finance Recalibration, Transportation. And Senate File 13, School Facility Property Insurance.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room S27. Mr. President, Senate File 52, Workers' Comp Rate Discount, will be the first one up at 8 o'clock. Senate File 6, Real Estate Exemption Restoration, and Senate File 42, Professional Licensing, Applicant Criminal Records. And by way of advance notice, on Friday, amongst other things, we're currently planning to take up the organ donation bills.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your committee, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources Committee, committee number 5, will be meeting 15 minutes upon adjournment in Jonah Room S27 to take up SF-44, Fire Protection Revolving Account, SF-45, State Fair Board, SF-53, Small Water Projects, and SF-54, Water Development Project Amendments, and 15 minutes upon adjournment.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow about 15 minutes after noon recess in Jonah Room S18 to review Senate File 16, Financial Assurance Class 1 and 5, UIC Wells, Senate File 18, Orphan Site Remediation Funding.
Senator Christensen.
President, your number 1 committee, Judiciary, will meet.
It's all on how you say it, Senator Christensen.
It is. We'll meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in Jonah S18 to consider the following bills: Senate File 19, Uniformity in Domestic Violence Law, Senate File 20, Custody in the Best Interest of Children, and Senate File 21, Required Reports in Adoption.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 8, Transportation, will meet upon adjournment in Jonah Room S27 to consider the following bills on Wednesday evening, February 14th, Senate File 35, Military Service Relief Act, Additional Protections, Senate File 36, Veterans Tuition Program Limits, Senate File 37, Purple Heart Day and State, and any other fine piece of legislation you'd like to throw our way. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Von Fladen or Perkins, do you want to talk about Management Council, one of you? Mr. Vice President?
Thank you, Mr. President. I forgot. Management Council will meet about, whenever the House, upon adjournment, whenever the House comes out, and to take up the two endowed bills and the, we have the statewide lodging tax will be done at that time, too. So in L-51 and efficiency bill, too, will be finished up in that time. So in L-51 upon adjournment.
Thank you. Member of the Senate, good job. We have worked 65 Senate files. Oh, Senator Burns, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Joint Appropriations Committee number 2 will meet upon adjournment today, whenever the House gets out, to finish up the capital construction bill and the retirement center and pioneer home. We will continue at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning if necessary. Then at 9 a.m., we'll shuffle on down the hall to Jonah Room L-54, where your Senate Appropriations Committee number 2 will take up Senate File 2, Legislative Budget, Senate File 63, Interfund Loan Accounts and Interest Rates, Senate File 81, Game and Fish Department Budget Requests, Senate File 82, Miners Hospital Board Account, Senate File 89, Local Government Distributions, and Senate File 90, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges. We will continue upon noon recess tomorrow to finish up those bills.
Okay. Any other announcements? As I started to say, we've worked. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to remind folks that tonight is the Women's Legislative Caucus event. The dinner will start at 7, but there's a cocktail reception from 6 to 7, so hope to see you there tonight.
Where's it at?
Little America, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Anything else? For the third time, like I was saying, we have worked 65 Senate files. Good job, Senators. We have on the books right now 23 more that we've seen. I'm reminding all of you that tomorrow at noon, you have to have your final copy into LSO for this session if you want to have one of your own individual bills, or if there happened to be a management council, a Senate file out there we're working on. So tomorrow at noon is a cutoff to have your bills in a form that they can be assigned a number. Anything else? You heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, Valentine's Day, February 14th.